So, LinkedIn, is that the first platform you go out to start distributing videos, or do you just go to all the platforms in your, when you start distributing because you're earlier stage entrepreneur at that beginning of your career?
Yeah.
How do you go about, that process of, okay, I created this video. Do you put it everywhere?
Yeah, so in like, mid late 2009, I think it was summer 2019, Instagram was a lot more like hotter than it is today. Today it's kind of like I would say on its way down, if anything. But I got on Instagram first because of the position I thought it was in. And then it was kind of like Instagram, and then there was LinkedIn. And like those were my two choices. I wasn't doing long form video content at that point. So I looked at like Instagram and I looked at LinkedIn. I started putting out some basic content. It was terrible content looking back now, but just basic like sales advice, leadership advice, graphics, quotes, that kind of stuff. And then I'd say probably like, September, October 2019, I had to make a decision because I was working a full-time job. And I was trying to balance personal things. I was a dad, I have two daughters. And so I was like, I only have so much time in my day. And I really want to get good at the platform that I'm on. I don't want to try to spread myself too thin from day one. And so I was like, I should really pick one to go all in. And just my heart told me, everything inside me told me, like, dude, go LinkedIn. I think Instagram's like not, I don't know what the future is for Instagram. It just didn't feel like it was long term. And there was something about me that told me, like, LinkedIn is it. It's a business platform. The community's strong. Like, you really can build something on LinkedIn. And so basically, in late 2019, early 2020, I decided I'm going all in on LinkedIn. And I'll still post occasionally on Instagram, but my main strategy is going to be based around LinkedIn. And February 2020, I win my first customer with that strategy. 6 months later, I'm putting in my 2 weeks notice at my corporate job.
Oh,
So
wow.
it worked out. It worked out.
Okay, got it. Got it. So right now, fast forward to where your business is now, you are putting out content on LinkedIn versus TikTok versus YouTube
Yep.
Shorts. That's you distribute to all of those channels, right? And I just was curious to understand, yes, and is it the same video that is distributed across all of those channels that the service you provide, or do you change it up per channel, or do you slightly make it shorter for YouTube Shorts and different for LinkedIn?
Yeah, it's a bit of both, right? So like I would say 70% of my videos are the same videos across channels. Now, when I say that, people are like, oh, cool, I can create one video and just post it anywhere I want to. And it's like, not necessarily, right? You have to really understand the platforms that you're going to be posting for. So best chance in 2023 of you popping off or going viral or having your videos perform on all platforms is, of course, the way the algorithms are tailored and the way the platforms are tailored, you would want to go short form vertical videos. Right now on YouTube Shorts, you got a minute or less as we're recording this now. TikTok, you've got longer, of course. LinkedIn, you've got longer. Instagram Reels, you've got longer. So, but if you create a good short form vertical video, because most people are on their cell phone, are on their smartphones now, you're likely that video will perform on multiple different platforms if done right. And so 70% of our videos are all the same exact video. Now, we may tweak small things. We may change a little bit of the copy, but for the most part, it's all the same. And we've built that so we could create something off of social media. We could re record content, whether it's from podcasts, events, things of that nature. We repurpose them, or it's me just filming content, whether it's my creative edutainment videos or just one-off batch recording content. We record the content offline and then we repurpose it or edit it, post-produce it. And then we're able, because of the style and the way that we do it, we're able to pull it and get it to YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, TikTok, LinkedIn, and it typically performs regardless of the platform.
Okay. So I want to go a bit more into that process of understanding. So how do you, let's go back to the start. Like, how do you come up with your ideation of what video content, like for yourself? How do you come up with that? Do you sit there and like just things come to you during the night and you get up at 12 o'clock and go, wow, that's a great idea, and you write it down? Like, what's your process of ideation?
Yeah, content ideation. I mean, some of it does come like you're in the middle of the night and you wake up with this idea, or you're in the shower, or you're on your drive, to and from somewhere or to a restaurant or whatever it is. But I would say that my process to break it down so it's actionable for people listening is like I have my notes app, which you can use a Word document, you can use anything that you want where you can get ideas. You need to be able to take content ideas and jot them down in an organized place. And then at some point, you're either going to take those ideas and turn them into text post, blog post, long form video, short form video, edutainment videos, whatever you want to do with that idea or that topic, you can do. But now you've got the substance. You've got, I know what the message is going to be about. And if you're wondering, like, what is the message about? How should I think about that? Where do I get those ideas? Well, that comes directly from my customers and my prospects. So I'm constantly fielding questions. I'm reading my comment section. I'm wondering why someone shared a certain video. I'm wondering, when a prospect asked me that question on a Zoom call today, let me ask, not only just answer the question, let me ask, hey, what made you ask that question? Or why were you curious about that? Or hey, why'd you decide to put this on your video and not that? Mm-hmm. And I'm getting all this data and insights from my customers. And then that's the idea list. That's the topic list. And then I just take that and I say, cool, how can we make creative content that somewhat edutains or entertains or motivates or inspires or educates based on those topics that we know that they care about?
Got it. So then you've got all these notes. Then what happens? Like, is it once a week that you stand in front of your green background and, like, you know, green grass?
Yeah.
And then you start, you know, shooting that. With what kind of camera, what kind of setting, like what happens? Is it once a week? Is it every day? Is it as you feel?
Yeah. So we do a podcast episode once a week, which is typically on a Tuesday, and we'll get a ton of repurposed video clips from that. We'll get, you know, from one podcast episode, we're getting, you know, 10 to 12 micro short form clips. We're getting a long form video, long form podcast episode. We're getting a newsletter and then a handful of LinkedIn text posts. We maximize the crap out of one video, which is what everyone should be doing with their content, right? And so that's typically on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, I reserve a couple hours for me to record content from scratch. So if I'm going to do that, then I'm going through that notes app and I'm going, what are the 4 to 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, whatever it is, juiciest topics that I feel like are most relevant to my customers that are on the top of their mind right now. And that could be explaining why video. It could be explaining how to do video. It could be a combination of the two. And I'm pulling out my smartphone and a lapel mic. I use the Movo mics or the Comicas. You could use Rode mics are great. And that's the two pieces of technology I'm using. That's all you need in 2023 to make great video content: smartphone, mic. And now you could use a Yeti mic. You could use I got a Logitech webcam that's streaming this right now. I do have a DSLR. I'm just not a huge fan of like overcomplicating things. So that's it. So podcast. And then I'm also I'm a guest on a lot of podcasts and shows and live events. So last week I was on two podcasts, and I was on a LinkedIn influencer summit, and then now I'm on this. And so it's like, I will chop up all this stuff and get great content from it as well.
Right. So next is, you do all these shoots, you've got to put it somewhere so someone can pick it up from your team and actually edit it, right? So tell me about the organization of all these different things that happen like that, because that can become very difficult for a new team member if you want them to edit for you. So how do you organize, you know, your stuff so a creator that you're going to partner with can know that here is all my stuff, and, you know, and do you tell them like, here's all my stuff and here's the best parts that I want to do, or just do everything here, like because you've got these bits that you've shot that are already in small pieces, but what about all that, your podcasts and all the great moments of that? Do you dictate? Do you remember, or do you just say you pick it?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, for me personally, I curate is what I would call that. I curate my own content still. So whether that's me timestamping what clips I want, or whether it's me actually just trimming them, I still like enjoy that process. It's like a kid in Christmas morning, and I come down and I'm like, oh, I got this long form video. I get to like pick and choose what clips make it and what was good and what wasn't. And like, I'm surprised by, oh my gosh, I didn't think I was going to get 10 clips. I thought I was going to get 6, you know? And so for me, the curation part, I still enjoy and like doing myself, and I'm able to do it myself. And I think if you're watching or listening to this right now, the curation process is very, very important. So a lot of people, what they do is they like hand it off to an editor, and the editor is a good editor, but they're not necessarily a good video curator or repurposer. Mm-hmm. So they could be, and you could definitely train somebody. Like we're training our social media managers now and content managers to be repurposed kings and queens. So they know what they're doing. They know how to take that clip and chop it up. I haven't let go of that control yet, but I'm sure I will probably at some point soon. I also write my own copy too. But the process that it goes through is that if you're editing our videos, or if we're working with a customer, we set up a very similar process, unless they have something already established. We use Trello to organize all of our content. And so it's very simple. When a new editor comes in or working with a new customer, whatever it is, we have a tutorial video that they watch. It's 4 minutes. It explains the exact process step by step. It's super simple. It's very easy, user-friendly. And they come in and there's a raw video folder. And then they take a raw video clip. Importance is ranked top to bottom. So they come up top. They pull the video. It's in progress. From in progress, they're editing the video. Once it's done, it goes to ready to review. Then once either me or the customer, whoever it is, reviews the video, it may go into revision if there's something to change. If not, it goes right into edited videos. And then from there, it's scheduled videos and archived the content. And so that's kind of the workflow process.
Perfect. So you're really still watching a lot and making sure like the best parts are picked. So the next part is now editing, and your videos are edited super cool, super engaging. There's lots going, you know, on in your videos that I really personally love, and that's what really caught my eye. What, and my question that I had written down as soon as, you know, what type of editing time do you allow your editors? Like, do you say, you know, prescribe them, like, you know, you've got half a day, you know, for an edit, or, you know, what's your expectation on that quality, or you don't care as long as, you know, something creative comes out? Like, how do you manage?
So our mindset is like, if you look at some of the highest performing video content is edutainment content. It means you're educating and you're also entertaining. Now, and I'm going to get to your question, but I'm just going in reverse for a second. When I first hit the scene and started making video content, I created a lot of edutainment videos, and I still do, like today's video, right? On TikTok and LinkedIn, it's got 35,000 views already, and it's doing really, really well. It's just getting started. Now, with that stuff, I'm acting, I may be rapping, I'm doing a skit video. There's something really creative that Alex is doing. Now, what I did that for a while, and then I realized like people would look at me and go, yeah, that's really cool. I love your videos, but man, I can't do that. Like, that's not really my style, or I don't feel like I could do acting or rapping or that kind of stuff. And I never wanted anyone to feel like they had to do that, because they don't. But what we sat down and we were like, how can we help people create edutainment without them having to do acting or rapping or anything crazy, skip videos, any of that stuff? And what we decided is we came up with this new creative editing model or method called animated personalized videos, APVs. I had my shout out to Marcus Sheridan, because he literally helped me name that that name. Like, he's like, you should call it something, you should get a name for it. And I was like, I don't even know what it is. He's like, this. I'm like, cool, I'm gonna steal that, thanks. But so we started creating this style where it was like, if you told a story, we would use that editing to not just do captions and titles, but to bring that story to life and make it more entertaining or edutaining, therefore performing better in the feeds. And we started doing it with my videos first, and tried it on TikTok and LinkedIn, and we saw major success. And I was like, man, almost at the point where I was like, do I even need to do the skit videos anymore? But I still love doing them, so I do. But, and then we started doing it with customers, and it started working with customers. And so like, then we like really took it to the next level and continued to do it. But that was why we started doing the edutainment and the way that we edit the videos. But to your point around time, how much time do I give them to edit? It's typically like, it could vary. It could be anywhere from 5 to 8+ hours to edit a video. If it's creative, right? Let's say it's a 1 minute, 1.5 minute. It could be 7-8 hours easily if we're doing it in our APV style.
Yeah. I was thinking that you would have to give a fair bit of time with that much motion graphic going on. And then it would maybe even undergo a check and then a further revision. Do you give your editors revision days? Like, for, you know, when we manage an agency, one thing I've always found, and I think this is something customers are not aware of, is how difficult actually it is to manage a full editing team. And I think you kind of, you know, got into it and tried to explain it, but most people wouldn't want to do what it involves, is, you know, with editors and making sure they're really tight on their time frame. And maybe when we're talking, we're sharing knowledge, but it is a lot of effort of, okay, so it goes on one, it goes for review by someone before, I'm guessing, it goes to a client, and then you checking it, giving feedback. There could be revisions again the second time around from client, and it goes back. So really, a video could take all the way up to sort of 20 hours before, they're not probably counting after a point it goes to final review. But it's a lot of production there that you're handling, from subtitling to motion. Someone might, so you're giving a lot more time for revision because you've got so much going on in from what I could see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and you know, that's one of the reasons that we hire content managers and social media managers for our customers. Like some customers are like, they're cool with like going in and looking at the revision and, you know, giving some feedback and that kind of stuff. And then there's some customers, like we have a customer that we signed up 3 weeks ago, where literally we're just going to do video. We're film videos with them once a month. And yeah. then we sit back and we do all the copy, all the content management, all the scheduling, all the editing, all that, you know? Mm. And so it's like, you either can spend more money and get more freedom and time back, yeah. or you spend less money and you've got to do more of the stuff yourself.
Yeah.
Right. So it just depends on your process, but yeah, I think, you know, like having a really tight system and process helps. And when it's a new editor or a new employee coming on that doesn't know our system, it takes a little bit of training and processes. And that's why we have an operations lead that really helps kind of smooth that out. But once they get going, it's a pretty smooth process for the most part.
Got it. So with your service, what does it like include? Like what are the sort of, you said, you know, a customer will come in. Is it an all done for you service? Like you'll get X amount of videos or, you know, is there all platforms included or is it, you know, is it one service or is it like, you know, pick and choose where you want to be? Like what's the, you know, what's the offering to the market?
Mm-hmm. So to simplify it, it's like creative video editing is one service, right? So you could do part-time or full-time video editor assigned to you, almost like you'd have an employee, right?
Oh,
the nice thing is me and my operations lead are managing or leading this person. So it's not, we do all the payroll, we handle all the management stuff. We do the coaching sessions, you know, all the stuff that we do, we handle that. And so they can either go video editing and, or they could do content management. So we would hire a full-time content manager, social media manager that would come in and do all of the content management, write copy for them, post the content, schedule it, archive, manage the Trello accounts, all of that stuff they would do for them. So they could sign up for both of those, or they could sign up for one of those. Either one they sign up for, whether it's one or both, they get my strategy consulting and coaching. We do recording sessions. There's a lot of built-in value where it's like, you're not just signing up for video editing. You're getting a partnership with it, right? Because some people are like, cool, I want videos. I want to do video editing and content management. But then it's like, what's the strategy though? Because if you don't have the right strategy, you could go 6 months down the line and not be seeing results. And then you're back at square one because the messaging was off, or you didn't understand your customers well enough, or you weren't creating the right type of content for the right platform.
Right, right. So they'll get 1 hour or so with you every month to strategize and shoot the content.
Yeah.
And then the rest is they've got a start. So you're like kind of a between a offshore, like you're introducing them to talent, and that talent, I saw a lot of your team is in Philippines, which is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Are you introducing them to talent there, or it's at their choice if whatever they want to pay? Like you can also find them talent on ground if that's wherever their budget is, but most people would be understanding that.
Good English, good talent over there.
I mean, it's
right.
It's a no-brainer.
I mean, and don't get me wrong, there's great editors all over the world and there's great content people and producers all over the world. But, you know, for us, we are responsible for hiring and training and onboarding the talent. So they come to us and we say, what do you need? What are you looking for? What are your goals? What are you trying to accomplish? And then we sit down with them, build that strategy out. And then we assign the talent that we know can help them accomplish their goals. So it's that for now. You know, does that change a year or 2 years from now? Potentially could, right? Yeah. But as you know, if you're going in, you know, Australia or US or Canada or something like that, you're going to pay a lot more an editor. Now, ideal situation for most companies, I tell most companies, I'm like, look, if you got the money and you're a bigger company, could you build out a content production team in your company where everyone's in house? The thing is that a lot of companies aren't willing to shell out that kind of money for something like that. So it's easy. And they're like, I don't even know what I would fucking search for or source for. I don't know how to train people. I don't know how I lead. I don't know what to manage, you know? So it's, a lot of times it's just like way easier to go through a company like ours because everything's just laid out for you. You just got to kind of show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it. I mean, I also have really enjoyed working with the Philippines. Being Australian, you know, the time zones are great.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're right there.
Over here. So, you know, Australians love using Philippine stuff for a long time. I think they're getting more exposed to USA and they've got huge growth there. But for us, you know, it's been, they were our virtual assistants and, you know, I've seen this amazing creative from Philippines come out.
Yes.
And I've almost gone into just hiring Philippine just because you understand the culture, and then, you know, you've only got two cultures, like my Australian team and my Philippine team can then, yes, you know, just yes. work alongside of each other, which a lot of us do, just because then you know exactly what to expect and what their, you know, what their mindset is, what your mindset is. And so, yeah, and I've seen a lot of successful businesses also in the USA that compete within content creation who just have like hundreds of Philippine staff supporting, you know, two or three US.
And the thing I'll say about it too is like, you know, you have the opportunity, like we don't, you know, there's some companies that like treat them like, oh, you're a freelancer, you're not really part of the company. Da, da, da. And like, I'm sure you're the same. Yeah. You're the same way that I think about it, which is like, they're part of our team. Like we are changing their lives. We're paying them well. We're giving them bonuses. We're giving them pay time off. Like we're introducing, looking at benefits now. Like we are really trying to take care of people and change people's lives. We've had employees build houses because of our pay. We've had, you know, employees be able to take care of sick family members.
Yes.
We've had employees be able to save up for new equipment and computers and all types of really cool stuff that they've been able to do as an opportunity of working for our company. And so for me, like that's really, really important. And I'm excited to watch the team grow. And I know we'll grow in North America and other areas too. And I'm excited for that. But right now I've got a great team and I'm going to be in the Philippines in 4 weeks.
We're doing a company outing
and everything. Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome. I've got plans to be in the Philippines because I'm half based in Bali. Yeah, I'm half based in Bali and half based here. So, you know, flying out to the Philippines is on the cards for me too, to say hi and just to get to know, like, you know, the culture that as a leader, like you really want to embrace and understand what's going on as you, you know, as you move into your business growth, the more you understand, maybe you can pick up talent on ground even that you didn't expect, right? So that's really cool that you're going over there. But I really appreciate that cost model, because you can then bring a lot of value back to your small businesses and they can actually get out there and do video content at scale. One thing I did find that I'll share with you with when I've been working with Philippines, and for a long time I've had them all on my full, staff payrolls, and whether they were sick or not, just because that's how our market works. And I didn't go through any agency. I just thought I wanted to treat people equal. And just my pickup there was that in Philippines, the way that their market works, or any time they're picked up by any kind of talent or any kind of offshoring resources, they don't actually pay them if they take any sort of leave or if they're consistently sick. And I kind of was like, oh, well, I kind of don't think that's fair. And I wanted to be this really nice, you know, boss and person. And that went all well. But just like the caution there is that because they're not used to that, right? You're not really measuring the output all of a sudden over time could really drop, because you're not now KPI'd in the same way as a business owner and as you. So, you know, if you don't show up for 4 days and there's no videos being outputted, at some point, I think, you know, one, two times now and then every 2 months, like people might not really, you know, whatever. But I noticed that, you know, when you come in and you try and change a culture, or you try and introduce new rhythms without really giving a layout that, you know, the expectation's still the same. It doesn't matter you did this, but the expectation is still this output. You could all of a sudden, you know, really be unraveling and introducing a new system or a way of thinking without really positioning it. So that was just one of my learnings is, you know, it's great that you want to introduce our culture and how we do business and how we have trust, especially Australians, we have a particular way that we like to do it. But, you know, as small business owners or anyone listening on, and to you is, you know, just be really, I think, that KPI that I still expect, you know, if you are salarying someone in, that I still expect X amount of videos, or I still expect X amount of copy. Like, you can go take your sick leave and your family and all that, but, you know, otherwise you can actually all of a sudden be very misaligned.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you're running a business, right? So it's like, you know, my message is always like, look, we're going to commit to you if you commit to us. Right. So like, you know, it's an opportunity that you can take and run with. You can have flexible work times. You can have good pay, you can have salary, you can have the bonus, you can have all the stuff that you want, but that means that's a commitment, right? We're committing to you and you've got to commit to us. And so, yeah, I'm pretty serious about KPIs and performance. I mean, at the end of the day, like I always tell my team, I'm like, look, it's not even a me thing. It's if we don't perform, nobody has a job at all. Like we don't have a company. So like it's for us, it goes back to core values of your company, right? For us, like customer success obsession is a big one. So it's like when you're obsessed with customer success and employee success too, like that is at the top of the food chain. And it's not the only thing. Like there's other values that we have, but that's an important one. And so like if someone doesn't align, it'll be a conversation, but then after that, it won't last very long.
So now the final part is distribution of this video. We've talked all the way through. Now you're saying that, you know, you're getting incredible views on videos when you're doing these really creative. I saw that, you know, the rap with the AI one as well, where you were going against the AI. I really love that. And I can see how that can actually go and be viral. But in my viewpoint, in my experience, and I don't know if LinkedIn treats it different if you move off a format, but carousels have been, you know, dominating the scene on LinkedIn for a while. But I've always, you know, try and still put out video because I think it's the one that builds the most trust, and a lot of people agree mm-hmm. with that. Do you see that in terms of, you know, your video views, because you're consistently doing it, that the algorithm is sometimes, you know, not giving it, you know, the same, I guess, effect throughout the whole 12 months or 24 months? Like, or are you always averaging the same, or do you see the algorithm sort of updating to sometimes reduce video reach, or what's your understanding?
Well, I think the big shift that happened with LinkedIn in terms of video was maybe about a year ago, somewhere around that mark, year and a half, I don't remember what it was, but they, for a long time, they were judging video views as it had to be 3 seconds, as you probably remember. Yes. You had to view the video at least three Correct. Seconds, and that was Correct. A view. And then it was judging text post on if it hit your feed, regardless of if you stayed on it or not. Yeah. So it actually was measured incorrectly. There was an imbalance because it was like, well, I need 3 seconds to a video, but a text can be me scrolling right Correct. By it, not even giving it 1 second.
Correct.
So for a while, it was the results were skewed. And then once they made the change, I personally did not notice a difference between a text post and a video post in terms of its reach. Now, obviously, I do a lot more videos. I've never done a carousel on LinkedIn.
Yes.
It's just not my style. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just like not my style. I do mostly videos, 80% videos. Mm. And for us, it's always worked well. I mean, I would say it's the opposite effect because most people were for so long. We're like, oh, LinkedIn videos. Like, I don't think they get as many reach. I was like, cool, y'all don't do videos then. And I just like kept building my brand. And like, and pretty soon you're one of the rare people that like actually is able to put out video content consistently. The other thing I would say is that like carousels is like, yeah, they do look nice and stuff. And they definitely can perform well on LinkedIn, but where else can you get that carousel? You know, it's not going on.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
It's not going on TikTok. It's not going on Instagram Reels. It's not going on YouTube Shorts. It's not going on regular YouTube. So it's like Instagram's basically become Reels. It's like really transformed the past year and a half, where it's like not the traditional feed even anymore. Right. And so it's like repurposing. That's why I just think video is the easiest content to repurpose, because I can take one video clip and I can make it into carousels. I can make it into audio, a podcast, a long form YouTube, mini clips to post. So I think from that standpoint, it's always been an attractive feature for me to be able to take one piece of content and turn it into like basically an unlimited amount.
But are you getting the same, like, do you get leads as well, like inbound leads from these other channels? Like, are you seeing, you know, results? And how would you rank TikTok versus Shorts versus Instagram, like in terms of the leads?
I'll be honest, like for us, it's LinkedIn and it's TikTok. Like those are our two primary channels. YouTube Shorts, I just need to post more shorts. I just haven't like gotten a good rhythm around it. Yeah. We do long form video content, and that's like good for building deep levels of trust. And I'm sure we've gotten customers from it, but LinkedIn's probably 70% of our lead flow. And then TikTok's about 20%. Okay. So like, but you know, a video like today, my video on TikTok, you know, is significantly outperforming my video on LinkedIn, and it's the same video.
Yeah.
But that is not always the case, right? It depends. And I also have more followers. I have almost 30,000 followers on LinkedIn and about 9,000 on TikTok. So the follower count's a little bit, not that matters a ton nowadays, honestly, but Yeah, the lead flow is heavier on LinkedIn because I've been on there longer. I've got a much better brand or bigger brand there, but definitely we get leads and customers from TikTok frequently.
Yeah. Okay. So the impressions you're seeing, is it sort of consistent, or do you see the algorithm ever change every month or every 3 months and go, oh, it's all of a sudden, you know, it's the same quality of video and I don't see why the impressions have dropped and then they pick back up? Like, do you see that trend? And all of a sudden I see LinkedIn all of a sudden push and give this huge, they were doing this thing for poll where they'd give huge impressions to polls for last year, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
That means they're taking away from a particular format, you know?
And
they're actually, and the rumor has it that the reason video impressions are still so controlled is because they know that if they do bring too much video impressions on, what will end up happening is they will enable too much cross promotion, like all the TikTok videos will then push into here. So they're actually, the reason they do the carousel, I think, push is like almost strategical for them, is because you can't use it anywhere else. Like, it's that's the rumor that I heard, because I do find sometimes my videos will, they'll do well, and recently they've come back and done well, but sometimes they, I've been like feeling like they almost penalized that format over, say, if I said the same message in a carousel, they gave me way more impressions because they're just favoring that format at that moment in time, which could change. And I don't believe in playing for format. I think you should play for what you come across the best, what you feel, you know, that if you're really great on video and you're like that special kind of person, you should go play that strategy, not because the algorithm said so, you know. Or if you're not really comfortable and you're shy and it's not something you don't come across well, then yeah, sure, maybe you should play a carousel or text post, because you just can't, you're not confident, you're not there yet, and that's okay, that's your style, and that you can do other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, my thoughts on the algorithm, like I always say, like the algorithm is just people. Like, it's people reacting to the content, and that it's either going to distribute it out to more people or it's going to distribute to less people. And the algorithm has one goal, and it's to keep people on the platform, because that's how, for most companies, that's how they get more ad revenue. That's how they get the more attention to be able to sell that attention to other places. That's how they sell their products. Like, but I do hear what you're saying. I think there's periods in time where the algorithm is adjusted, right? There's things that happen to the algorithm. It's AI. There's data scientists doing things, you know? So I think, you know, I've noticed not so much an algorithm thing, but I just think there's ebbs and flows in your content, right? Like, there's times when like it's hitting really good and your shit's on fire. And then there's times where you're posting content and you're like, what is happening? Like, I can't have one piece of content that like blows up, you know? It's like, and so it's like, I think there's just natural ebbs and flows to, as being a content creator. And I think that's one of the reasons, similar to entrepreneurship, I'm sure you would agree.
Yeah.
That if you can't stay like kind of ride at level, like if you get so low because you had a week or two where it was like, oh, my views are down, this are down, my leads are down, you know, and then people stop creating content because they're like, oh, I'm just discouraged and I don't want to do it. It's not worth it anymore. And I've just noticed, like, man, I've been doing this for, you know, over 3 years now, very consistently. I'm talking about video, and it's like, I've gone through my fair share of like ups and downs. You know, I've had very high highs and I've had very lows where I'm like, what the hell is going on with video, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think for me, it's like, do you know, you got to go back to why you're creating content in the first place. What's the purpose? And for me, it's building trust with customers at a very deep level. It's edutaining people. It's giving them good information while having fun doing it. Yeah. And it's connecting me, it's building brand and connecting me to my dream customers.
Yeah.
And so I think for me personally, video is the best way to do it from that trust building standpoint, because they can visually see you and hear you and get a feel for your personality, but also just because it scales. It just scales so much. Like, we're, YouTube is a big focus for us this year, and it really wasn't as much last year. So then we're going to have LinkedIn and TikTok and YouTube. And it's like, you know, all the new platforms, for the most part, even Elon Musk is talking about it, Twitter. How do we get video in this, right? And Mr. Beast has been chiming in with ideas, and Gary Vaynerchuk's been chiming in with ideas. And so I think LinkedIn has to step back and say, like, look, we're not trying to be TikTok. Of course, right? Like, we're not trying to be TikTok or Instagram. And I think that's great. They shouldn't try to be that, right? I kind of like how they still have text and carousels and some unique things that other platforms don't have. But you also can't deny what's happening with consumer behavior and consumption of content. And the reality is that video is just like dominating so many areas and platforms, and just on social media, off social media. We now consume four times more video than we did, you know, just a couple of years ago, a few years ago. Yeah. So it's like a lot of things are changing. And so like LinkedIn's got to, I think, balance this whole, like, how do we evolve and continue to innovate, but also stay true to who we are. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how it plays out, but I definitely think that video is only going to become more popular on LinkedIn.
Yeah, absolutely. There was something really funny that happened. I had a customer from B2C World. They're an Instagram. They've got like, you know, 30 million followers on Instagram. And they yes. came to me and said, I want to do LinkedIn. And I was like, okay. And then their product cost, each thing was like, you know, like $60 or something like that. And I'm like, you know, LinkedIn ads going to kill you.
Oh.
Anyway. He's never opened up LinkedIn. So I open it up for him just to show him, like, just to see on Sales Navigator if, you know, his audience is even there or whatnot. And as soon as the feed comes up, it was so funny, the hilarious. He said, "This looks like a newspaper. Like, what the hell is this? Do people actually,"
that's funny.
He said, "Do people actually come on here, you know, and scroll and do this shit? Like, this," he goes, "I don't understand." Because all he's seen is Instagram and beautiful things. And he goes, I don't understand these people.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
And his feed's curated. His feed's curated over Instagram from what he likes. So he's seen all the shit he's used to seeing, right? Where LinkedIn, they don't know what he likes. So it's
uncurated. He was just looking at mine going, "You mean you go on here every day?" Like, he's like, "This is like reading the AFR or some shit." And I'm like, that's, you know, it's such a, that's actually so funny, because that's like Instagram meets LinkedIn. It's almost like a funny thing that how you do your funny things. Like, that's exactly what people are thinking. I want to end with the future of video and AI and how you see that playing out. I mean, I've seen your videos saying, you know, it's not ready yet. It's happening. But some of the things that I want to know about is, okay, like, I know, like, someone can actually create a concept of a person and they can like be talking to it. I've seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, my team was like, "Oh, can you go and shoot this like voiceover?" And I was like, "Why don't you go use, I think, DALL-E or something, you know, DALL-E or something, and try and, you know, do it." And they were like, "No, you need to log in and do it and da da da." And then I was like, "Okay, I'll just record it myself." So, you know, there's still a little bit of annoyance. So what is going to happen, do you think, with AI? And then what's the future of video editors in that progression as AI comes in?
Yeah, I mean, AI is going to disrupt video content for sure. I think, you know, if you flash forward to the future, I don't know how long this is. It could be a year, it could be 5 years, whatever it might be. You're going to be able to sit down, or you're going to be able to stand up, whatever you want to do. You're going to be able to record yourself on video for a couple of minutes, audio, mm-hmm. visual, everything, and input it into a software system, an AI program system. Mm-hmm. And then what they're going to be able to do from that is you're going to be able to put any script you want in there, and it's going to create a video that is based off of your sound, your audio, your voice, your personality, your hand gestures potentially. And it's going to be able to spit back out a video that is based off that script and basically ready to post. And then AI is going to be able to come in and edit that video, captions, titles. Like, you'll probably be able to program it to what style you want, get some templates, that kind of stuff. And so basically, if you think about it, you're going to be able to sit there and just literally input a script and stand back and watch AI create the actual video as you, and then edit the entire video in the style that you want it. Now, of course, with that, people are like, "Oh crap, it's going to be like a lot of people out of jobs and that kind of stuff." And yes, it's going to put some people out of jobs, but it's going to force people to innovate and add skill sets and create other jobs that are going to be, because they always, like, I heard this saying recently where it was like, AI is not going to put you out of job. AI is not going to put you out of your job. Someone using AI is going to put you out of your job. And I think that's really how you have to look at it, right? It's like, it's not like, as a our company is like, well, if AI can do all this stuff now, what's our advantage? You know, we got to look at the marketplace. Like, is there still a unique advantage? Like, right now, you can go on ChatGPT or Jasper, any of these companies, and you can have AI write you a LinkedIn text post.
Right.
Yet there's still a lot of LinkedIn copywriters out there doing amazing work and getting paid a lot of money. Why is that? Because their copy is better. And it's more personalized, and it's what that they've got a relationship with their customer. So can AI get to that point at some point? Maybe, maybe not. right? But it's definitely going to keep advancing. But there's always a place for personalized and customized and stuff that's just innovative and different and unique and next level. Like, there's going to be these pockets of opportunities, but it's definitely going to change the way we look at video and editing. And for sure, the whole industry is going to be disrupted. I think the whole content industry is going to be disrupted, but I think it's going to create a lot of opportunities, and it's going to force people like us to not get stuck in our old ways, because there's going to be a lot of companies that just don't evolve. They just don't adjust. Yeah. Like, oh, I don't think AI is ever going to be this. We're just going to always do it this way. And like, you know, as people said with the internet, that's what people said when the internet, I'm not getting .com. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing email. And then everyone started doing it. And so I think like it's our ability as entrepreneurs and content creators to be able to innovate and adjust along the way and still keep, you know, true to our personality, our values, and who we want to become.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my thoughts. I mean, ChatGPT is really interesting. I was using it as soon as it came out. And then yesterday I tried to use it, and it's now all of a sudden being programmed to say, sorry, I can't do that anymore. You can go to Canva and they can help you do design. And I was like,
wow.
Last week, you know, like even if you said, like, you know, let me turn this video into a carousel, can you do that for me? Here's the transcript. And it would. And now it's like literally breaking up the text. Why would it go backwards when it was like, so you really can't.
Well, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I was going to say, there's a lot of things that people don't realize with AI is that there's a lot of copywriting issues, right? Mm-hmm. So like if AI is going to edit your video, where are they getting all these elements from to use? Like, and can they do the stuff that we could do in our videos? Probably not for a while, but even if they could, where are they getting all these elements from? If AI is doing art for you or a carousel or whatever it is, where are they getting all these elements? Mm. So I think there's a lot of copywriting and legal issues that will come with this as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's like people get all hyped up about it. And I understand why, because it's cool stuff. Mm. But at the same time, there's things that we just don't realize yet that are also going to prevent its growth as well and create more pockets of opportunities for people that are crafting something from scratch. So again, I think it's like, you know, use it as a tool, but understand that like there's still going to be a human component to content. Like even if you're writing using Jasper or ChatGPT, you still got to have a human kind of inputting good information and then looking at the outputs and determining if it, like, there's still just going to be that.
Correct. Right?
Like I can't, for example, maybe it, and this is, I never thought about this before, but this is maybe live streaming becomes that much more important and valuable because there's so much AI video stuff out there. People are like, I can't even tell if it's like somebody real or not. It might be a freaking robot. Mm. And so now live streaming becomes one of the most popular sources, or podcasting where people are having conversations and you can really tell that that's it. And authenticity becomes at the forefront because all the other people are trying to take cheat codes and create AI content instead of doing their own content. And so again, you see how that it creates these different layers and levels to things where it's like, there's not just one path, right? It's not like it's, oh, it technology goes up and everything gets eliminated. It's like, it's going to create other things in culture and society that I don't think we quite understand yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like just a caution for people listening on that, you know, you're thinking, oh, ChatGPT, now I can, you know, go do it by myself. It's such an ever-changing platform that you actually don't have reliance that you can actually get. And there's so, as soon as it came out, I was thinking, oh my God, us marketing agencies, like what's going to happen to us? Because they can just hire an internal person. But the unreliability, the way it's changing, like, you know, you just can't make rash decisions on something that we don't even know what it's going to be priced at. We don't know how it's going to evolve, because it's evolved so fast to say no to so many things in the last couple of weeks for me. But even my team restructure that I was looking at going, oh, we can just move like this and move like that. I'm going to be having to pause that. And I think same with customers as they kind of go through this journey. It's just, you know, it's just not, it's a free thing and it's not free forever. And we don't know what it's going to transform to. But I've had such an awesome time, Alex, talking, and especially that last part of talking about the future and how you see it. That's been incredible. Really looking forward to staying connected in LinkedIn, you know, network, and following your stuff. And look forward to putting this out.
Thanks, Melanie. I appreciate you having me on the show. This was fun.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Thanks.
You're listening to Innovative Minds.